Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody joining us this afternoon. Got a very special guest with us today, Miss Erica Mason Colvin, who is the restorative practitioner at Our Lady of Angels Maternity Shelter, and the one and only Georgette Greenwood, who's the director of the shelter, are joining us today. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of an update, if you will, about Our Lady of Angels and the upcoming gala that's going to be held on January 23rd, Friday, January 23rd, 2026, over at the Mayborn Center in Temple. And we'll get into a little bit more information about that as we begin our discussion. So, Miss Erica and Miss Georgette, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you,
So,
Tom.
as many of you will remember, a conversation that we had, that Georgette and I had a couple years ago, about the shelter. It is a very special place to a lot of us here in the Central Texas area, and I think many of us are familiar with the shelter, but I know that there are some that this is their first time hearing about Our Lady of Angels. So, Miss Erica, can you kind of just give us a little bit of an oversight as to what the shelter provides?
Absolutely, I'd be glad to. So we are a maternity shelter. We have a large focus on four primary programs, and those are, of course, interrupting pregnant women in crisis. So we have the shelter piece. It's the absolute in-house private quarters, community home where the ladies can live, even if they have small children. Also, another one of our programs is materials assistance. So that is open and available to the public. Any resident of Texas, any parent or caregiver of a child less than 36 months can come here on site or make arrangements for one of our community events to receive diapers, wipes, toiletries, and other things available by purchase or donation or request for free. There's no charge. Another of our program services is the health and wellness piece. What we recognize and know without a doubt that many of the people who cross the threshold there have had or experienced some type of trauma. So we want to have a major focus on kind of rewriting their story, empowering them, addressing mental health needs and sometimes physical health needs through our community partners and through the staff that we have here on board, because we're interested in healing the whole mother, right? All parts of who they are. And then our fourth program is the aftercare services. So for the ladies who come through the program, are putting the pieces back together in their puzzle, and they acquire their own housing, we continue to work with them until their youngest child is 36 months. So we don't just say, hey, go live over there and good luck with life. We absolutely stay in their lives and we absolutely continue to be a support system for them. And they can participate in all of the classes that we offer and continue to participate in those mental health services.
That's an interesting I'm sorry, Mr. Chad, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I failed to mention serving those who serve us. What we realize, whether it's geographically where we are, we get a lot of military families, right? With Colleen being just down the street, Colleen Fort Hood. So that opened the door for an opportunity that we may not have been fully aware of. And that's called serving those who serve us. So it's actually five programs, right? Because this is military specific, and whether it's an enlisted personnel or the families of those enlisted personnel, deployed persons, or whatever, what we learned is that they too are in need. And that while the government does pay them, it just doesn't stretch too far. Sometimes there's more month than there is money. And so it became important to us and necessary for us to help support those families as well.
Now that's something that's kind of new for the shelter in the last year or so, right?
It is officially new, but all the while we were, incorporating them into our services. But
Okay.
then the need increased, and so then it became a specific focus for us to include them and just to carve out space and time for that population.
That's fantastic. And I think that's something that probably gets overlooked across our community is that the role that not only do you guys play, but a lot of other agencies play to support our servicemen and women and their families. I think it's also worth noting something that you just kind of slid in there. The youngest child up to 36 months. And I think that absolutely flies in the face of a lot of the criticism that we get, we the pro-life, pro-family community get from our critics that we're just interested in people having babies. We don't care about, what happens to them after. But for these young mothers that are in crisis that have a couple of three children already, that support to her and her children for 3 years is absolutely critical.
Absolutely, it's paramount. What we know is that nothing lasts without a foundation. There must be solid rock for all of it. And 30 days, 90 days, or just seeing them through the birth of a child is not necessarily going to get the job done. I would love to
Absolutely.
toot our horn, but we, there's not, we're not very well reversed in the miracle business. So we have to d rely on humans and labor and participation, and we continue to work with them. We absolutely have to, break habits and change their thinking and change their mindset and kind of just walk them through being parents, being healthy parents, and having that growth mindset and just believing in themselves that they can do better and be better. And that's not just for them, but for their kids and families too.
Wonderful. So explain to us a little bit, Miss Erica, what does the restorative practitioner do at the shelter?
Well, they will tell you that I show up with a bouquet of balloons and they call me Pollyanna, but that's absolutely not the
That may just be one part of your role.
I'll take that. I'll take that. So what it means for me is that we are providing holistic healing services for these ladies. So when I facilitate what we refer to as healing circles, it is not only based on the group, but based on the individual. What we know is sometimes the ladies that come to us have had failed community supports. So it is incumbent for to get them to learn how to build community, how to make and sustain relationships, whether they are personal or professional. So restorative started out as strictly conflict, right? Resolving conflict between two parties. It could be as minimal as she stole my parking place, or as heavy as, they murdered my only child. So while it started in that justice situation, it has absolutely evolved into a community practice that we have embraced that has lots of ceremony. And what we know is people like to tell you that is absent of theology. And what I know is you believers take their beliefs with them. And so it will never be absent of theology if we sit in this space together, right? And we heal together and we're able to talk. And so it is a system and a way of being that teaches them how to live peacefully so that they can parent, so that they can work, so that they can function in any society and in any community, and let those experiences be positive for them and for the people around them.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. I love the theology, and the believers are going to still be believers regardless of the situation. I think that one of the things that you mentioned is teaching. There's an aspect of this that goes into teaching some of these women how to be parents, because whether we want to deny it or not, a lot of them come from a broken family to begin with. And can you talk a little bit about how that family nature of the shelter itself exists?
Absolutely. So I also want to add that in part of that mental health program, that is an addition to their regular meetings with a clinician or their counseling and traditional therapy. So for the familial unit, we have a heavy focus on that. And while we might not see the fathers that are present or involved, but we know that they exist. So we approach that in two ways. Not only do we make an attempt to reach out to fathers in the community to help them be parents, to help them participate in the caregiving, to help them understand the needs of the mother and the children, we work with the mother. Sometimes that means participating in reunification. They have been separated from the fathers. They, under all kinds of circumstances, as you say, they sometimes themselves come from broken homes and they didn't make the best choice with the partners that they chose or sometimes didn't choose. It's the case. What we know is there is a lot of trauma. So while we try to inquire, we even have fatherhood classes, right? And so the parenting is not just for the mother, but what we know is she has to be strong enough and capable enough to carry the load if she has to carry it by herself. And so the family unit is a very, very important piece. And so we address that by addressing, again, the whole person. So there's the spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental piece. And we've even had a couple of ladies get baptized. So when you start to embrace and address the entire person, we know that when all of those basic needs get met, then they can take the things that they learn and gain and go be productive in the community.
So do you have a male person on staff that leads some of this fatherhood these fatherhood classes or?
We have a couple of male people on staff, but then we have also been blessed enough to have some volunteers about some specific things. So we've had some classes, not all fellas know how to change a tire. Like that's pretty antiquated. We just sit and call AAA, So some basic life skills things like how to light the grill and not burn your house down, just some some interest of the men folk from our community that are willing to come and facilitate those classes and lessons. But then, yes, definitely
Love it.
men who have been on staff who have both education and life experience that pour into the fellas who show up.
I
So,
love it.
Tom,
That's
maybe we have six programs.
maybe we have six programs, Tom.
All
I
right.
can't count.
I'm just saying, I can't count, but maybe we do. Okay,
There you
yeah, gotta
go.
include the dads. Gotta include the
There you go.
dads.
Oh yeah. I think that is again that's so critical okay, so all these six programs now six, maybe seven by the time the interview's over, we'll see. But all these six programs that you guys are providing for the community, this greater Central Texas, really the entire state and the country, I'm sure.
Indeed.
But all of those things are absolutely free, and they don't cost you a dime, right?
They do not, but they cost
They don't.
in time for education. So everything is paramount to education. So they have to participate in some sort of parenting or some sort of pregnancy, life skills, financial skills classes, independent living. They have to participate in some education in order for those services to receive those services free.
Anywhere in the state of Texas.
But unfortunately, the landlords and the electric company and
Correct. It's not free to
those people,
us. It's free to them. Turns
it's
out,
free.
when I come to work, I expect a check. So that's that's one piece of it. But now we have a dynamic staff. And so while I mentioned before, continuing with the professional development for staff and like me personally investing in that, but that's in my particular wheelhouse. So, but then, we have to have trauma-informed care. We have to have CPR and first aid. We have to have food safety. And so in terms of just not even the hours that the staff work, but just training them to be the best possible staff for our population, there's costs associated with that, plus all of the operating costs and
And so
Everything that goes with that, and the price of food rising, and all the things.
So how do we offset these costs and ensure that the shelter is able to provide all these great services to these ladies for them free of charge?
Well, there's a couple of ways. We, of course, always accept both monetary and physical donations. Babies are born all the time. They're all kinds of weights. The Pampers go in size from size itty bitty to big kid. And so those are always those basic needs, formula. And sometimes a child can't particularly digest a certain type of formula. So there's those specialty formulas that are really, really expensive, more so than what we would consider generic or more widely acceptable. And then, all those allergens. But one of the big things for us, one of the big thing, what the biggest thing for us, is our annual gala. It is always a well-crafted, beautifully organized, intense planning event that happens every year, right? And so usually by the time of the event, we are all out of breath and out of patience. But it is our, it's two things. The money is, of course, so important. The money is absolutely important. But I think what's really important for the community is the message. It's the message that there is someone here to do the work. Is the message that there is someone here invested in the lives and the well-being of these parents and ultimately these families. And in order to do that, in order to spread that message, in order to maintain that message and maintain the level of staff and care and concern that we have, the money's just necessary. It's just necessary. That doesn't mean, everybody's going to get a Mercedes. That means we are really like meeting basic needs of people, which is so important.
I have to many of our folks will know that I've been involved, been blessed to be involved with the gala for, gosh, a number of years now, and I will tell you, it's always a highlight of a great way to start the calendar year with this gala early in January, and it's always a lot of fun, and I think I am like a lot of folks that are fans of and supporters of the shelter, that we don't necessarily get to see the results all the time until we come to the gala, and I love having the moms there with all their little kids, and you guys go it you seem to go out of your way to make sure that they're able to come, and the kids always have a great time in the kids' room. I always get caught going in there and hanging out with them. I have to admit, but.
It's a celebration. It is a celebration of their successes. It's a celebration of their hard work, a celebration of what I call the stick-to-itiveness award.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? They fight the hard fight. And because I mean, we can say and do all the things that we do, but when they're not willing, it doesn't happen. So these women have showcased that they are willing, that they do want to do better, and they do want to be better. And that is absolutely their opportunity to shine and to say, see, this is what we're trying to do over here every day with all the people.
And that this is what they have accomplished too. A part of what we are going to do better in 2026 is our behind the scenes. Because if you, I remember you've been here since I've been here. So we started working together. You may have been here before me, but I know that you have been here with me since 2018. But a part of what people don't see is how we have been able and been blessed because we're God-led. And everybody believes that this is a ministry, not a job, which means we spend a whole lot of time here and an extreme amount of time here because we feel like it's a ministry. And when God has it for you to do, you don't answer, ask questions. You just do what you're supposed to do and do what you've been given the gift to do. But one of the things we will do better is showing this year coming are behind the scenes so that you understand how we went from one program serving 12 women or something of that nature to serving thousands in 28 counties, because that's a lot of work. It's a lot of To developing these five programs, to being successful with having these women want to stay. And while they stay, and we can work with them officially per our funding source until they're 36 months, there are women who say, I don't care, I'm coming anyway. And
Absolutely.
they show up, and I'm like, they've been coming since 2018. And we do not turn them away. We just keep working. And as a result, we have professionals in this community. We have people making more than us in this community, and I'm just like, I want to make $35 an hour. And so we have those, and they're changing their lives. We got bank managers, we got entrepreneurs, we have managers, we have people who have state qualifications and certifications and thing of those nature. And so we're going to do better in 2026 of showing you all of that work, because you can see the results, but sometimes seeing the intensity and seeing what it looks like to pull up somewhere and have women so excited to get stuff that they're like, we just found out you were here. And I'm like, you're in your underwear. Please stay in the car. We're going to come to you. You know what I'm saying? Because they need the services. So, and to have them tell us and help us design what they need. So that's been so exciting to be able to be on the opposite end of them being comfortable enough to say, this is what we need, and for us to be able to respond. And that is just 100%, that's God given. That is not us. We are followers. He makes our crooked places straight. And so it's easy. You just go and do it. We're going to catch our breath later on, but right now, that's what's in this building. You have 20 people, and we do the work of 100. And that's the amazing part. So we're going to do better in 2026 of showing that we definitely are.
Yes, because did you know you could drive for 9 hours and still be in Texas?
Amen. You say that like that's a bad thing. I will kind of chime in there with what Miss Georgette was saying about the number of things that are provided, and I've seen the growth, since 2018. And when I was looking through the invitation that we got, a few weeks ago, I was amazed to realize that you guys are providing services to women in 28 counties. And to me, that reach is incredible. I mean, that's 28 counties. I mean, good grief, that's bigger than most states, frankly.
Indeed.
And that's
And to
all been through request. We will start something somewhere, and then the next place says, well, hey, what about down here? Or somebody will call and say, hey, we heard you all do A, B, C, and D. We would like to participate. And so having the ability to be online has really it stepped it up. And we are those people who drive everywhere. And so if they say, yeah, if they say we're everywhere. We're in Marlin, Mahaia. I didn't even know those places existed. But somebody called and said, we have people who need these services but don't have those resources. Can you help? And so we help. And everywhere we can possibly go, we try if we are requested. And so physically and digitally.
That's wonderful. Do you guys have like specific needs in terms of the donations? Like, is there a specific diaper size, or you mentioned, Miss Erica, the kind of the expensive formulas? Is there something specific that maybe we can help in immediate term here with needs?
I think because the needs are sometimes cyclical. Cyclical, right? There, we'll have a wave of ladies who all need size three. Then we'll have a wave of ladies who all had newborns, right? Or who all had enemies, right? So if we can get our hands on the cards, the multi-shopping cards, the Walmarts, the HEBs, Targets, or what, all those things, so that
Okay.
we can cherry pick the things that we need to provide from them. But surely, surely we'll always take the donations and undersize. But what I have noticed here in the past, I would say 9 months or so, is the larger sizes. And that
Okay.
doesn't necessarily mean it's an older child. It's just a bigger baby, and they are eating good. And so those size 4 and up Pampers, yeah, there's a great
Yeah.
demand for. I say, did you say it's 8 months old? Okay. She has a chunky monkey there. So yeah, so
That's
the
funny.
bigger sizes are in demand, because the larger the Pamper size gets, the smaller the quantity.
Sure. And but it doesn't change the number of times that they have to be used.
Correct. Correct.
All
Tom, one of the
right.
things I
Well,
wanted to tell you about was, or to mention, and so this may be, no, it's not our seventh program, but
I
one
knew
of the
we'd get
things
there.
with,
I knew we'd get there,
one of
Mr.
the
Jen. I
things
knew
that
it.
we definitely end up doing is, because we do work with women, and sometimes we work with women who have not had prenatal care and they're in their 6 month, or because we work with people who have mental health and drug problems and things of those natures. What we have noticed is an increase in the number of children that are born with special needs. And we do not turn those mothers away or those children away. We simply help get the resources, because sometimes you have mothers who don't even recognize that their children have special needs, or that they need something special. And so that's been on the increase in the last 3 years, and the last couple of years, it's consistent that we have multiple children, and their infants and children, that have special needs that we have to address. And so the good part is, if we can get them early, then we start explaining to them, hey, and making sure that they get to their doctor's appointment, their prenatal visits, or things of that Because
nature.
they're not aware that the infants are missing milestones. And so if you don't have experience with this, a child or children or babies, then you don't know that there are developmental delays. But we
Yeah.
have a spot on staff that can say, hey, he's not doing this, or she's not doing this, or toddlers that come around.
And we're working on getting funding to be able to do that, because one of the things we recognize is that the women are in the shelter and they are going through the trauma and the homelessness, their children are also experiencing the same things. And we want to be able to address that. And we have a lot of resources in the community, but we have definitely noticed that that is something that we are seeing more of. So we are looking at different ways. So by the time we do this interview next year, we'll probably have 10 programs, because
Oh
we got
dear,
to
I
figure
just thought we were making it to solid seven. I
out. Poor Miss Erica's head's already spinning.
miscounted
So
again.
where can our listeners find out more about the gala and get tickets and or support the shelter directly?
On our website.
And that is
Their thumb tips, ladyoftheangels.org.
ladyoftheangels.org.
Yes.
Folks, there, I encourage you to go there. And I mean, this is about Central Texas helping Central Texans, and this is
Absolutely.
about Central Texas helping all of Texas, really. I mean, 28 counties and growing. Seven programs and growing. This is about making our impact and making our community stronger and better by helping our young families, helping young mothers who are in a crisis get out of that crisis and get the not just the basic needs that she and her family needs, but as Miss Erica and Miss Georgette pointed out, the life skills. That she needs, that the father needs, for just to make so that they're not in this cycle of rinse and repeat, that they can actually go and and go get their GED and go get a great apartment. I love hearing the stories about the girls that, and they're so proud of themselves when they take that next major step of, I've got a solid job and I'm able to put food on the table and I can, I've graduated from this program. I got this certification. And to me, that's, and again, those are the kind of the events that it goes on at the gala, but that always makes it a great evening to hear those stories.
Absolutely. It is their time to shine because they have earned it. They have put in the work and they have done all the deeds. And yeah, I get really proud too. I call myself the proud auntie. But yeah, it's lovely to see. It's lovely to witness. And it's a privilege and a blessing to be a part of.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Ladyoftheangels.org, Mr. Jett, Miss Erica, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate your time. Folks, go to the website, ladyoftheangels.org. Help out in any way you can. Come to the gala at the Mayborn Center on Friday, January 23rd, 2026. It's interesting, Friday, January 23rd for the 23rd annual gala. There's some symmetry there somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Come support the shelter. Come have a great time. And thank you, ladies, both for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.